So, is everybody enjoying their worship? It's such a sweet time of prayer, sharing our praises, our concerns. The encouragement that you share, Shara, is awesome. That God doesn't change, that we can beat on his chest and cry all over him, and he stores those as treasures. Thanks for the encouragement. You know, I forget who said, Robert, thanks for giving out God's word. And if you know somebody that needs a Bible, see me. I'll get a Bible in your hand today that you can give to somebody. We're all about communicating the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ here at Christ Little Talpahakan Church. And I have to say, well done, church. You know, through the testimonies here, just seeing the little glimmers of growth in each one of you is sweet for this guy who is just some humble nobody that chooses to serve the Lord. It's really cool. I do want to thank you again for allowing us to go see these priceless treasures. Just give me a minute to boast and brag. And just prove that we were there, holding the little sweetest things, the new life. And I do have to share a testimony. How many know how much God loves us? Because until I held these little cherubs, do I fully understand how much God truly loves us. You know, to hold this new infant child. This is what Jason sounds like. That's his voice, man. He's just working so hard at growing, and he's so inquisitive in the event you get to hold him while his eyes are open. He marvels at your face, and I can't imagine what's going through his mind. What I can't imagine is how much God loves us. You know, about a month ago, Dennis Feig said, you know, we want to live in such a way that it makes God smile. You know, when God looks down from heaven and he sees me, I want to hear him say, "That's my boy. That's my boy." Do you live in such a way that when God sees you, he says, "That's my child"? You know, if you're visiting, if you haven't been here for the last couple of weeks, and I know I haven't been here for the last couple of weeks, and I probably won't be here for the next couple of weeks, but we have been looking at Ephesians 2, and the last time I preached, which was 2 weeks ago now, we were looking at our position in Christ, where we stand, where we were, and where we are now. And I hope that your testimony is, I remember when, but God made me now. So that was Ephesians 2, 1 through 9. And probably every pastor on the planet that's a professional would preach Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. But I saved verse 10 to be isolated so we can rip it apart. And, you know, my timing is not perfect. You know, I had my schedule for the month. You know, I was going to preach Ephesians 2, 1 through 9. I was going to have Stephen and Allie Merrick have their testimony to share. And then I was going to support that by Ephesians 2, 10. And God ripped my plan to shreds, and so here we are. I'm going to try and rebuild my plan, but it's ultimately God's. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you again for this time where we set apart to worship you, to fellowship with one another, to be molded and shaped and loved and to love you. And God, I ask that you would empower me to deliver this message with a boldness and courage that only comes from you. I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, that your spirit would have opportunity to minister to our spirits, that when we leave this parking lot, this tent, this property, we say, what just took place? God, mold and shape us, recreate us. You do the work. And I thank you for using me for such a time as this. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Ephesians 2:10. Everyone here has it memorized, right? Me neither. It says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. I want to give a second for that to sink in. Paul here is speaking to those who have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So this message, these verses won't make sense to everyone. These verses don't apply to everyone. This is a simple and yet profound truth that we need to come to understand. Church, you need to own this. God is the author of salvation by grace. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. What does that mean for us?
I don't know, James, that's why you're up there.
Yeah. Don't leave. Let us remind ourselves once more of the power of the gospel. Think about it. What does this good news mean to you? Do you even think about it? For the whole month, I've been saying, since Easter, let's think about the cross. Prior to Easter, focus on the cross. What does it mean to you? Does it mean anything to you? Because that's the foundation of our faith. What good work did God do for us? Now think about it. Don't take this thought for granted. What did he do for us? I'll tell you, he crushed his son on the cross for my sin, for the transgressions and sins of the world. On the cross. Don't ever forget the cross. What good work did God do in us? Think about that. What has he done in you? I'll tell you what he's done. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he's removed the blinders from your eyes. We can see the truth that we are made spiritually alive together with Christ.
What did Jesus do?
He gave us life. And that's what this passage is all about. This is how we're created in Christ. We're united with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. If you need more understanding, Romans 6 is a great chapter to read, to memorize. Any Bible scholar here, I'm sure the curriculum was memorize Romans 6. I will confess I have spent my lifetime trying to memorize those, I think, 26 verses. And if I read it once or twice, I can do it by memory. This is what it means when a verse says we are his workmanship. You see, if we're his workmanship, we did not make ourselves. We're not of our own doing. We're of his doing. God has done a work and is doing and will continue to do a work in our lives. And we're to walk in his ways. He's the author and author of our faith, not us. This speaks to the regeneration of being a new creature. How many times do you know this reference? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anybody here sick of me saying it? over and over and over again. My wife, as she proofed my sermon, said, you know, I really think you should print out the verse. The sermon's so short. I mean, new creature should be new creation. I mean, we know that word, new creature. This is what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. I was, now I am. I would love to see the kids I grew up with as adults now. They would go, you know, when I preached 2 weeks ago, I said, you know, a lot of that sermon that I preached about our position was from a phone call I got from a kid I grew up with. And he actually said, you know, who would have thought when we were 17 or 18, James, that you'd be a pastor? Not me. I never thought. God is doing a work. The truth of God's word is we were once dead to God and alive to sin. But now in Christ, we're alive to God and dead to sin. How cool is that? You know, whoever said about Satan, we know how it turns out. He's already condemned. We got the power. We prevail. That's the work of Christ. To be created in Christ is to be born again. I'm always going to turn to God's word. Colossians 1:13 says to be transformed from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of the beloved Son. You've been transformed. You've been made new. Romans 8, 5 and 9 remind us of the importance of being indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit living in you? Yes, I do. And I can't make it another day without Him. We read in verse 5, those who are living according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Verse 9 makes it clear. These are not my words. This is God's word. Verse 9 says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. To be created in Christ Jesus is to be a follower of Christ through faith, by God's power, by His strength, given through His grace and His love. So this raises the question, how shall we respond to this grace, this unmerited favor? All right, a month or so ago, I made sure everybody had a pencil. I suggested that you put it in the pew, in your Bible, or in your visor. We provide a blank space for you in the bulletin. Here's your reference, Luke 17, 36 through 50. A good read. How shall we respond to the gospel of grace? Luke 7, 36 through 50 gives us a little snapshot of how those who have been forgiven much are to love much. Jesus says in verse 47, for this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. You know, all this information, when I was writing this, rings this little hymn. They will know we are Christians by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. When you read verse 1, it says we are one in the Spirit. We don't go through this life alone. If nobody's around, you got the Spirit of God living in you. You have power and authority and access to all this. The mark of a true follower of Christ is someone who loves God. Ephesians 6:24 says, grace be to all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with, listen, incorruptible love. There is nothing on this planet that's going to keep me from loving my Lord and my Savior. How shall we respond to this great love? With good works. Motivated by grace, fueled by faith, empowered by the Spirit. We love God because He loved us first. This may be bringing some questions to your mind, such as, what are good works? Good works are the things done for God that bring honor and glory to Him. We also need to ask, what's the proper motivation for good works? Because I'll tell you, I enjoy doing good works. To get the accolades. But why do Christians do what they do? I'll tell you why. Christians labor for God because it pleases Him, not appeases Him. We do good works because it delights God, not in order to be forgiven. Good works are the natural byproduct of the true follower of Christ because we love Him, not to make Him love us. He died for us while we were still sinners. I'll never be good enough. Jesus said in John 15:10, if you keep my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, abide His commands, and abide in His love. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So who ought to do good works? How about we? The second half of that verse says, we, which refers to those who have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Listen, unbelievers do not, will not, dare I say, cannot do works to please the Lord. You say, well, James, that seems a little harsh. But if we're going to stand on God's word, Hebrews 11:6 says bluntly, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Don't shoot the messenger. That's God's word. You're not going to fake God out. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. Ephesians 2:10 tells us we're to walk in good works. To walk in good works means to do them constantly. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Keep going. We do them constantly. We're to make them part of our lifestyle. They will know we are Christians by the way we laugh. In every and any season of life, wherever, whenever, the life of the Christian is to be marked by good works. We have been printing Galatians 6:9 in our bulletin for probably more than 4 years now. Why, church? Because that's what we're called to do. Let us not lose heart in doing good. Check me on that. Read your bulletin. I may have paraphrased. As long as I have opportunity to stand in this pulpit, I will do my best to stay true to God's word. Listen to the instruction of 1 Timothy 6:18 and 19. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Take hold of Jesus and never let him go, because in him you have life. Don't take that for granted. One more verse that speaks of works is Matthew 5:16, which implores us, begs us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father and who is in heaven. Notice the goal of the good works. What are they for? To bring honor and glory to your Father in heaven. And he has gifted us before the creation of time, which I can't work that timing out. But he knew we'd be here right here today, learning how to work for him, because he's done a work for us that changes our lives for eternity. Good works point to God alone as the one worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. When we do good works, we show that he's worthy to be loved and to be served. I live and breathe so that I can proclaim Jesus. What are my two favorite things to do on this planet? Eat good food and talk about God. That's what every church does, especially the Methodist camp. But this church, Christ's Little Tafahakan Church, serves good food. Don't forget to order your hoagies today. Somebody owes me money. Anyway. Or a hoagie, yeah. How about it? Anyway. According to Ephesians 2:10, these good works have been prepared to do before the creation of time, ordained by the sovereign will of God. You might be thinking, if God's responsible for the good works, what role do we play? Well, I don't know, but this commentary said this. We are earthen pots, conduits of grace, cups that carry water to the thirsty. Knowing this, even as we do good works, we ought to be humble before God. Look, as we do our good works, as we allow God to work in and through us, let's put the honor and the glory in the right place. Where is that, church? With God. I don't get the praise, and I'll tell you, I'm guilty of that. I used to love the accolades and the praises when I draw this really cool picture. But God changed that. I'll close with these words from Romans 12:3 through 16. You might want to write that one down. Romans 12:3 through 16. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given each one of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless. Do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. The works. It's in the Word. And it's going out. We prayed that it would fall on open hearts and minds. Now I want to pray and make sure that God hears and answers and honors our prayers. Why? So we bring Him the praise, the honor, and the glory. These are not suggestions. Let me remind you, God gives us commands that we might respond to the gospel with joyful thanksgiving and thankful obedience. It's not what we do, it's why we do what we do. We have the privilege of showing our thankfulness to God for what He has done in Christ by doing what He says. Romans 12:3-16. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. 1 John 5:3, we find that His commands are not burdensome. Let's pray. Help us, Lord, to walk in the good works You have in store for us. Help us to be open to all that You would have us to do. Teach us to see our whole life as You see it. Through the help of Your Spirit, may we come to see every moment of every day as an opportunity to show good works, to do good works for Your glory. Father, to the answers to these requests, we give You the praise in advance. Will You continue to reshape us and mold us into the people You created us to be? Help us to trust You, to obey You, and to reflect You well in all we do, say, and how we act. We ask all these things in the matchless power of Jesus' name. Amen.